Even though I grew up in the Catholic Church, went to PSR classes, CCD, religious education throughout my formative years as a child, even though I grew up going to Mass with my mom and my brothers on Sundays, I have to be honest with you. I knew some things about Jesus, but I did not know the person Jesus. I did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in fact, I really did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ until my evangelical friends introduced me to him in a real, concrete, substantial way when they invited me to a conference called Acquire the Fire. This is like a non-denominational conference where in a very real way, I was able to encounter the person Jesus. And ever since my first real concrete encounter with Jesus Christ back at Acquire the Fire in 2001, I've always had a real interesting relationship with his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Because whenever I came back from that conference, after I encountered Jesus, I remember going back to my girlfriend who also had a relationship with Jesus, but she belonged to a community that was very anti-Catholic. And so whenever I told her, hey, I had this awesome encounter with Jesus, I'm really excited about cultivating this relationship with Jesus, she informed me that I could not have a real relationship with Jesus if I remained Catholic. Because according to her, what she was taught, by no fault of her own, but what she was taught was that Catholics worshiped the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, we don't. We don't worship Mary. But unfortunately, I never really paid attention when I grew up going to PSR and Sunday school and CCD and religious education, Sunday masses. I used to daydream. I didn't really care. I wasn't plugged in. I wasn't too excited about the community where I worshiped at anyway, and so I already wasn't really attached to my Catholic church. But to hear that Catholics worship Mary, well, I didn't want to be any part of that. And so because of my misunderstanding of Mary's role in my faith, I chose to walk away from the church for good, from what I believed. And I really, in those years where I walked away from the Catholic Church, I really got plugged into a lot of different Christian communities. I went to a Baptist church here, a non-denominational church here, evangelical church here, and I got plugged into some really good Bible studies that helped me to grow in intimacy with Christ in the Word. Did this for a number of years, had fun, had fellowship with some of my friends in these communities. And then the summer before my senior year in high school, confirmation was now approaching. Confirmation is that sacrament where we open ourselves up to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, just like the apostles did in the Acts of the Apostles, where the Holy Spirit overshadowed them and they were filled with these awesome gifts. My brothers, when they were confirmed, they chose to walk away from the church, and so I had that option as well. Maybe I can receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit and then be done. But unlike my brothers, I was really trying to be intentional in my relationship with the Lord. And so I decided I don't want to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit if I don't really know what it's about. And so I began to do my own investigation into this faith that my mother brought my brothers and I up in. And through my own research, I came to the understanding that Catholics, in fact, don't worship Mary. She was one of the biggest stumbling blocks for me in the Catholic Church. And I came to understand that we simply honor her as the commandments tell us to do. Honor your father and your mother. And because I was a member of the body of Jesus Christ, by virtue of my baptism, I was incorporated into the body of Jesus Christ. His mother became my mother. And so I was supposed to honor her and have reverence for my mother. She said in her Magnificat in the Gospel of Luke, all nations, all ages will call me blessed. It was my duty as a disciple and as a son to call my mother blessed. So I was okay with Mary now. I was okay with Mary. And so because of Mary, I chose to go to St. George, receive the sacrament of confirmation. And that night after I was confirmed, after I received the gifts of the Holy Spirit, at that reception, one of my friends invited me to another conference, This one was called Steubenville South. I went to this conference, and it was at this conference that I was able to not only encounter Jesus, but really fall in love with Jesus. Specifically, Jesus Christ and the sacraments. And specifically, Jesus Christ and the Eucharist, the bread of life, where he tells us in the Gospels, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you will have eternal life. This is my body given up for you." And it was in that moment, whenever I was with Jesus in prayer at that conference, where I was able, like the disciples, to perceive Jesus' face in the breaking of the bread in the Eucharist. And I completely fell in love with the Lord, not only spiritually, but like literally, physically. We had a relationship now where I was able to behold him in communion. He had me. I came back to Jesus in the sacraments, and I owe it to Mary. Because if it wasn't for my understanding of Mary, I would have never got confirmed. If I never got confirmed, I would have never went to the reception after the sacrament of confirmation. If I would have never went to that reception, I would have never gone to Steubenville, where I was able to really, in a very physical way, be totally sold out and become a radical disciple of Jesus in the sacrament of Holy Communion, the bread of life. Mary brought me to Jesus. Once I came back to the church, I still remained plugged in to my other Christian communities that I was a part of over these past 3 years. I still attended their Bible studies and did small group activities with them. I still had fellowship with them. I still was growing in holiness with them. They were helping me. They were encouraging me. They were holding me accountable. I'm very grateful for them. I still stay in contact with one of the pastors from one of those Protestant communities to this day. On one of the occasions where I was participating in a Bible study, at this point I'm back in the church. I'm going to Mass now, but I'm also still plugged into this small group Christian community. All my friends now in this small group, they all knew that I was back in the sacramental life of the Catholic Church, but I was still receiving and being fed from their small group studies. The youth minister did not know that I was Catholic. And so the youth minister, after this really awesome Bible study, he decided to go off the topic, and he brought up a recent newspaper article that he read, where in this newspaper article, there was talk of apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary, where she was supposedly appearing in places over the world, inviting people to come back to a relationship with her son, Jesus. And he, after he read this article to us, he said, "This is nonsense. This is ridiculous. This is foolish. Those Catholics, they are so ridiculous. Mary is dead and gone. She's not anybody important. She had her thing to do in salvation history, and that was it. And she's dead and gone. She's not important. I don't understand those Catholics thinking that Mary's appearing." Now, as he's saying this, all my friends in this Bible study are all looking at me. And I, my heart was racing. My palms are getting sweaty. Right? It's like the Eminem song. Palms are sweaty, mom's spaghetti, right? Whoa. Ooh. And I'm about to attack, right? Because he's talking about my mama, right? You don't talk about my mama. I didn't mind talking about Catholics, but you don't talk about my mama. And so all of a sudden, I just jumped up out of my chair, and I didn't know how to defend her, but I knew that I was supposed to defend her. And what came out wasn't good. What came out was like something like this, like, "You shut up, you old man. You don't know what you're talking about." And he said, "Well, tell me." And I couldn't tell him. I couldn't defend apparitions that are biblical. Apparitions that have happened in the Old Testament where the angels appeared to people. Apparitions that happened on Mount Tabor when Moses and Elijah, who were both gone. Moses died in the Old Testament. He appeared in the New Testament with Jesus Christ to Peter, James, and John on Mount Tabor. Apparitions happened in the Acts of the Apostles when Jesus appeared to Saul. Apparitions always have happened throughout salvation history. I couldn't defend Mary. I didn't know how, but I began to debate him, and I lost that debate. And instead of entering into a dialogue with him where I was able to be a bridge for him to come to know Jesus, maybe in an even more powerful way, I became a barrier, because all I could do with him in that moment was argue, and that wasn't good. I left that conversation with two thoughts. One thought was that I'm sure Mary was proud of me for trying to honor her, for trying to respect her, have reverence for this gift that she really is and she was for me in my walk toward eternity. But I also felt convicted,
Because with every gift comes responsibility. And I felt like Our Lady was inviting me to be responsible with the gift that she is to me, because she was a gift that she wanted to be for him too. And the way she drew me into a deeper intimacy of really falling in love with Jesus, she wanted to help this youth minister also fall in love with her son in a much more profound way, that because I was not able to discuss the gift of Mary with him, I wasn't able to be a bridge for that to happen. So I was really convicted leaving that conversation, and I began to immerse myself deeper into the gift that Mary is to me and the gift that she is to all of us, even if we don't recognize the gift of Our Lady for us in our walk toward eternity. One of the things that I came to realize as I began to immerse myself in the Mother of God was this, was Jesus wants all of us to be disciples, to be intentional disciples. And disciples of Jesus Christ imitate the Master. We imitate our Savior, Jesus. Imitation of Christ involves every aspect of his life, including the way that he chose to come to us. God, since the fall of Adam and Eve, set a plan in motion to save us, to redeem us. And the way that he chose to save us, the way that he chose to come into a living relationship, a physical relationship with us, was in and through a woman, in and through a human person. And that human person's name was and is Mary. Without Mary, there is no Jesus Christ in the incarnation. No Mary equals no Jesus. He is our Savior because of her, yes. Our salvation was dependent upon her role that she played in salvation history. She had to say yes. 33 years before Jesus came to us at the Last Supper and said, "This is my body given up for you." 33 years before he said those words, the Blessed Virgin Mary said those words to God. "This is my body, and I'm giving my body up for you, God. Do with me what you will." Before Jesus Christ nurtured us and gave us the bread of life that gives us eternal life, as he tells us in the Gospel of John chapter 6, before he gave us eternal life in the Eucharist, Mary sustained his life with the milk that came from her breast. Mary is a necessary member of the body of Christ that he chose to come to us through her. So if we're going to imitate Jesus, then what better way to go back to God the Father than the way that his son, Jesus Christ, chose to come to us in and through Mary. Mary takes nothing away from our Savior. She only draws us into a deeper intimacy with our Savior, Jesus. The more that we come to know Mary, the more we're going to know Jesus, the Christ, the Savior of the world. And so I began to immerse myself in a personal relationship with Mary, because God, Jesus Christ, our Savior, had a personal, intentional relationship with Mary. And so as I began to immerse myself in relationship with her, not only did she draw me to the Eucharist, the bread of life, but she began to open up for me the Word of God in ways that I had never been able to penetrate the depths of this living Word of our Savior before. It was in and through Mary that I came to know Jesus in a profound way, that before my relationship with her, I had not been able to go. She took me beyond the surface. In today's gospel, Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was infertile. Elizabeth could not conceive. She was barren for many years. Now she was an old lady. She's married to Zechariah, a priest, and she finds herself pregnant. Are there any women in this church today who are over the age of 80 years old? Don't raise your hand. Can you imagine if you get pregnant at 80? How awesome would that be, huh? So Elizabeth is pregnant now. Old lady, pregnant. And Mary's like, "Man, my cousin Elizabeth is very old. I'm going to go and take care of her." And when she goes to serve her cousin Elizabeth, pregnant with Jesus, this ark, Mary goes to visit her cousin. And as she comes in the presence of Elizabeth, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, the Gospel of Luke tells us. And as she's filled with the Holy Spirit, she proclaims a blessing over Mary. And she utters words that are extremely profound, words that we, many of us, recite every day. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. For many of us, these words are just, that was a nice greeting she gave to Mary. Right? Happy are you among all of us because God chose you and you said yes. Happy are you because you are carrying in your womb the Savior of the world. But Elizabeth, she knew the word of God. And she knew when the Holy Spirit gave her this insight into Mary's role in salvation history, that there was something very special about Mary, the daughter of the Father, the spouse of the Holy Spirit, and the mother of God. There was something very unique about her role in our salvation, because she recognized from her knowledge of the Word of God, because Elizabeth knew the Old Testament scriptures. She was married to a priest. They prayed with the scriptures and memorized the scriptures in Judaism. She knew by her uttering those words that were given to her by the Holy Spirit that she was saying something far more profound than, happy are you, Mary? You're different. She knew that those words implied that in and through Mary, God's prophecy in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where he said to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and hers. You will strike at his heel, he will crush your head. She knew at that moment that it was through Mary that Satan's head would be crushed. The serpent and the dragon would be defeated because of Mary's yes to God's invitation. Because those words, blessed are you among women, were only proclaimed in two other passages in the entirety of the Word of God. In the entirety of the sacred scriptures, those words were only used with two other women who were handmaids of the Lord, who were used by God to crush the head of the evil persecutor of their generation. In the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, we encounter a woman named Jael, a handmaiden woman of the Lord. And in Jael's time, there was an evil man named Sisera who persecuted the people of God, who hurt the chosen people of God, who attacked God's people. And to crush his head, God used a woman. Sisera came to Jael, and he ran away, and he came there and said, please give me some water to drink, for I am thirsty. She opened up a jug of milk for him. Then she covered him. He said to her, stand at the entrance of the tent. If anyone comes and asks, is there someone here? Say no. Instead, Jael, the wife of Heber, got a tent peg and took a mallet in her hand. While Sisera was sound asleep, she stealthily approached him and drove the peg through his temple down into the ground so that he perished in death. Then, when Barak came in pursuit of Sisera, Jael went out to meet him and said to him, come, I will show you the man you seek. So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera dead with the tent peg through his temple. We go on to read in chapter 5 that after she crushed the head of Sisera, she was hailed in this way. Blessed are you among women, Jael. Blessed among tent-dwelling women. Again, these words were once again used with a woman in the Old Testament by the name of Judith. In Judith chapter 12, we read about this man named Holofernes, who also was an evil man, persecuting the chosen people of God. And when he came into Judith's presence, she took him, and once again, she gave him something to drink. And after he drank freely of the wine she gave him, he became drunk. And while he was drunk, all of his servants left him alone with Judith. And Judith, when everyone departed, no one small or great was left in the room. Judith stood by Holofernes' bed and said within herself, O Lord, God of all might, in this hour, look graciously on my undertaking for the exaltation of Jerusalem. Now is the time for aiding your heritage and for carrying out my design to shatter the enemies who have risen against us. She went to the bedpost near the head of Holofernes, and taking his sword, drew close to the bed, grasped the hair of his head, and said, "Strengthen me this day, O God of Israel." Then with all her might, she struck him twice in the neck and cut off his head. Once again, she was hailed, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed are you. Blessed are you, daughter of the Most High God." Elizabeth proclaimed these same words that were only used in the context of a woman crushing the head of the evil emperor of their time, the evil persecutor of their time, because Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, recognized that through Mary, God's prophecy would be fulfilled and Satan's head was going to be crushed. Her role in salvation history is not a role, it's the role that God chose to save us. A necessary role. We ought to be grateful for the gift and reverence and have honor, not worship or adore, but have reverence and honor for this woman that God chose from the beginning of time to be used by Him to save us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus chose to save us, to come into a personal, living, vital relationship with us through Mary. As disciples, let us imitate Jesus and enter into a deeper, living, vital, more personal relationship with Him also through Mary. Because she wants to be a bridge for us to come into a more concrete, physical relationship with her Son in the Eucharist, the bread of life. She wants for us to receive that blessing He offers us in John chapter 6. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have eternal life. She wants for us to not only have a concrete relationship with Him in the sacraments of the church, but she wants for us to have a concrete relationship with Him in the sacred scriptures that the church gave to us, the Word of God. And she can do that for us if we lean on her and allow her to form us in Jesus the way she formed Jesus in her womb. My invitation for us this week is very simple, because Advent season is literally over after today. Christmas season is upon us tomorrow. So the invitation is very simple. I want to invite us to go to God our Father, and to ask Him this simple prayer. God, let me see Mary as you see her. Show me Mary as you see her. Because as we begin to see the way that God sees Mary, she will become a bridge for us to encounter Jesus in a much more substantial way. Just as she brought John, the beloved disciple, to Jesus at the foot of the cross, she too will bring us to her Son at the foot of the cross. And if we can remain in intimacy with Christ, Jesus Christ crucified in this life, then we open ourselves up to abide in relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior, in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity.